First Peter chapter 4. Yeah, I think we started it January of last year when we started this book. But man, it's a fantastic book. I love going through it. I love how Peter just kind of lays it all out. And if there's ever a book for a time in our society, it is First Peter for today. When it talks about when Peter here is talking in chapter 4, he's talking about having the attitude of Christ. And then what does the attitude of Christ look like? And of course, last week we talked about what it means to be a Christian and to suffer for Christ and how Christ suffered for us. And in this passage, now he goes in and he takes us back to 3:18. In 4:1, if you have your Bibles open to chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Peter, he says, therefore. And anytime you see a therefore, what do? We go back and see what it's there for. Amen. And so he says here in 4:1, therefore, and that takes us back to 1 Peter 3:18. And so in 1 Peter 3:18, it says this. Do we have it up? All right. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And so when we see this, Christ suffered once. He only died one time, one sacrifice for all of eternity. And then it says that the just for the unjust. Obviously, he was sinless. He didn't deserve to die. We deserve to die, but he chose to die for us, right? The just for the unjust. He is the just and we are the unjust, contrary to what we believe, because some people think that they're it. And I'm not here to burst your bubble, but I'll do it anyway. You're not it. It's not about us. Amen. Listen, Jesus Christ came to die for all of humanity, because if he didn't, all of humanity would die. And what I mean by that is we wouldn't live forever with him, but not all of humanity is going to live forever with him. And you're like, Pastor, why are you complicating it? Because I want your attention. It says that he might bring us to God. Jesus died that he might bring us to the Father, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And then in 4:1, if you go back to 4:1 in your Bible, it says, therefore, because of what I just read to you, therefore, in 4:1, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind or the same attitude, if you will, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And that doesn't mean if you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior that you're never going to sin again. What it means is you're never going to stay focused on sin and practice it on a continual basis. Okay? Because, you know, before I got saved, there were no stop signs for me. I was, man, I'm telling you, if they gave out trophies for being a sinner, I would have got first place. That's all I'm saying. Then I get saved and I become perfect. So now I'm your perfect pastor. And okay, that's not true. What does it mean? It's like, oh, wait a minute. All of a sudden, I don't have the freedom to live this lifestyle that I used to live, because now I don't live it for me. I live for Christ. And so now all things have to change. And if there was anybody appreciative of that, that would be my wife, Sherry, who really appreciated what Jesus did in my life. And so when we look at this in verse 4:1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Because guys, I don't know if you have recognized America lately, or maybe America has become unrecognizable. What was right is now wrong, and what used to be wrong is now right. And if you stand up against wrong, you are now wrong, because there is no right unless that's the wrong that's right. And don't ask me to repeat that again, because I know I couldn't do it. But isn't that the truth? Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, a man can become a woman. No. Let me help you out. Because now I'm the scientist. If a man becomes a woman and he dies, and the only thing that they find in the field is his bones, that's it. They have nothing but a femur bone. That's the only thing left. And they take it back to the science room and they do a DNA test on that bone. It will tell them if it's male or female. You can't hide it. You can deny it, but you can't hide it. And so what we got to do is we have to put this mind that Christ had. That's what we have to put on. We have to start thinking Christ-like. Because I'm going to tell you, if you keep holding on to the way the world thinks, it will drive you crazy. Because every day is something new, something different, a different twist, a different flavor, a different whatever. And I can't even keep up with it. We can't call people he or she anymore. And they're getting ready. California's wanting to pass a law there. You can't use the term mom, dad, mother, or father. It's simply parent or caretaker. And you think I'm kidding you. I am not kidding you. Go do your research. And it's like, hold on a minute. If we keep the mind of this world, we will go out of our mind. And I don't know about you, but I only have so much of that left. Because some of that went with all of my hair. And I'm like, oh, I'm slowly digressing here. Listen, if we're going to maintain proper conduct in Christ and have the mind of Christ, you're going to suffer. And what I mean by suffer is you're going to lose friends. You're going to have family dislike you. You're going to have people disown you. Matter of fact, you will be cursed by some of your friends. And we're going to look at a ton of scripture. And here's the coolest thing that I love about scripture is it's undeniable. Like at some point, you have to just go, okay, this makes sense. Okay, I can't deny this anymore. Even if you are a skeptic when it comes to scripture, at some point you have to go, okay, that's valid. At least the point we're discussing. And so if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we are going to suffer and people are going to not want to be around us. People are going to they're going to struggle with us. I know before I got saved, I had a ton of friends, and I use that term loosely, a ton of friends. As a matter of fact, as long as I was supplying the need, friends were everywhere. Every Friday night, Saturday night, I had a ton of friends. And then I get saved and I stop that lifestyle and nobody wants to talk to me anymore. And so I'd go to them and go, you need Jesus. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I did, but you know, that's beside the point. So when we go through this and we understand that by putting on the mind of Christ, that there's going to be a disconnect with the world. Because that which is spiritual and that which is that which is of God and that which is of Satan, there is a constant clash. It is a constant conflict, whether it be in the mind or whether it be in the world. It is a constant conflict. And the best way to conquer the world is you got to get control of your mind. Because what you think of, that is what you will pursue. We were talking this morning, and I made a statement that you will become what you're committed to. Whatever you're committed to, you'll make it happen. I used to tell my pastor, he's since passed away, but I used to tell him, man, I want a new truck. I would describe my truck. Some of you are driving it today. I'd appreciate you giving it back, but that's beside the point. So, and then he would say this, and he'd say, John, be careful, because thoughts are things. And what you think about it long enough, hard enough, you'll make it happen. Thoughts are things. And so we have to get control of our mind. And in chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 Peter, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind as Christ. See, he doesn't leave it up. Hey, listen, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, go figure it out. See, he doesn't tell us to go figure it out, because the truth is, guys, we're really bad at that. Amen? We typically go for whatever feels good. Amen. And, but he says, arm yourselves, arm yourselves. It kind of comes from Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. And if you go through the armor of God in chapter 6, you will find that all the armor other than the sword, in your helmet is frontal. There's nothing for your backside. Nothing for their backside at all. Why? Because we're in battle and we are to go forward. We're never to retreat and expose our back. God has our back. And if we're going to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, that means that we got to get in the scriptures. And someone asked me one time, Pastor, do you use the Bible for mind control? I said, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Amen. Because here's the thing about the Word of God. It is nothing but for our good. I used to live a life where I did this all the time. Looking over my shoulder. I lived a life where my starter was wired to my gas tank and I'd have to go out and tape my doors. And at the time I had hair, believe it or not, and I'd pull a hair out and I'd wet it and I'd stick it over the hood and I'd put it in various places around my truck or car. That way I could tell if someone messed with it. When I'd park in dirt or gravel, I'd clean the dirt and so there were no footprints. So if I came back out the next day and there were footprints, I had better watch my car. Now I don't even remember to take the keys out. I'm like, and Sherry's always, yeah, you left the keys in your car? Yeah. What if someone steals it? They don't want my mess. Right? And if you take my truck, you got to learn how to drive it because it doesn't idle. So you better learn know how to use 2 feet in an automatic or you're in trouble. I don't worry about that lifestyle anymore because I haven't lived it in so many years. And this freedom that I have in Christ is absolutely amazing. And the relationships that I build are solid now and they're good. They're not corrupt. And some of the friends that I don't have anymore, I'm really glad I don't have them anymore. We got to put on the mind of Christ. Because if we don't, we're going to make decisions that will destroy us or those around us. And this is what he's talking about. And not only that, but also understand that when we put on the mind of Christ, we get new enemies. Like you wouldn't think, right? I love Jesus. I'm living a good life. And then all of a sudden, I got friends that don't like me no more and they talk bad about me. It's like, wait a minute, I'm doing good now. What's the problem? Right? I had a teacher who I loved dearly, even after school was over, which for me was 10th grade. But at any rate, I loved him dearly. And I went back, got my GED, just so you know, and went to college. So kids, don't bail out. And so, but I was living in that world that just wasn't good. And then I get saved. I give my life to Christ. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And then I reach out to the same teacher who was really angry with me because of the lifestyle that I was living with all the junk that I was in. And when he found out it was Jesus was the reason that I wasn't in that lifestyle anymore, he quit talking to me. And in my mind, I went, why? Because see, I had the mind of Christ now, and he had the mind of the world, and they do this constantly. They just constantly collide. But we're called to put on the mind of Christ. You know, we've read in scriptures where Jesus suffered in the flesh and he died. You know, some people say, oh, he didn't die. They just took him down and resuscitated him before he took his last breath. Or he didn't die. They just made it like it. And when they took him down, they took him and doctored him up. And then he just disappeared so that nobody, you know, so that way they could get away with this whole colluded story that they had. And it's like, really, guys? Listen, he died. Look here in Isaiah 53:10. Isaiah 53:10 says this: yet it pleased the Lord, and I read this last week or 2 weeks ago, yet it pleased the Lord, Yahweh, remember, Yahweh is God in all his fullness, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Him is Jesus. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But it pleased the Lord to kill Jesus. Not because he was excited to do that, but because he knew that if he didn't sacrifice Jesus on the cross, we would have no way to get to heaven. None. None. We would be without hope. If you look here in Matthew 27:50, in Matthew 27:50, it says this: and Jesus cried out again. This is when he's on the cross. They've already put him on the cross. And if you're not familiar what it looks like to be hung on the cross back in that day, they would run spikes right here. Not here, because it would slip, it would tear through and wouldn't hang him. But right here, it was still part of the hand where the bone is. They'd run a spike there, and they'd run a spike there. Then they'd run spikes through his feet, so he couldn't lift up and get the pressure off of his lungs. And eventually his lungs would just fill up and he died. And we know he died because Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He died. If you look here in Acts 2:23, him, Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. In other words, God already knew what was going to happen because God, it was determined purpose and it was foreknowledge. It was already set in place because God the Father said, if this doesn't happen, you have no choice but to go to hell. Pay your own sin debt. And if you're sitting here today and you go, hey, I'm a good person, I'm not going to hell, I just got a couple of real good questions for you. Number one, how good is good enough? Like, when did you cross the line? And number two, by whose standard? Because if I asked everybody in here a standard of good, or 100 people in the world a standard of good, I'd get 100 different answers more than likely. Because good is what they perceive it to be, because that's the easiest thing and the easiest way to live by. Amen? And really, it's not. It's this. And so God said, listen, Jesus, we already know if you don't go on the cross, humanity has no hope. None. The foreknowledge that God knew we were doomed. So he sends his son, Jesus. It says, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, meaning people put Jesus to death. So I want you to see that Jesus really did die. We have proof, history proves it, time proves it, everything proves it, that Jesus Christ died for us for one reason, and that was God's redemption plan for us. When he went to the cross, look up Galatians 3:13, if you'll turn to it, please. In Galatians 3:13, he went to the cross and the Father made him to be sin for us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that curse of the law, if you don't know, I just want to help you understand. It means that you broke the law, you're guilty, and now you got to pay the price. I got a speeding ticket, so I went and picked up my mother-in-law in Cleveland, and we were coming back here for Christmas. I love my mother-in-law dearly, but she's a ticket magnet. And love you there, Ma. She's a ticket magnet, man. Every time I get a ride or get her in the car or on the motorcycle, I see lights, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So at any rate, and then I got a ticket, and guess what? I got to pay the fine, right? Because that's the penalty of breaking that law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You're a sinner. You've went against God. The price of sin is death and hell. And Jesus says, listen, as the judge, I'm going to pay that price for you. I'm going to pay it for you. You broke the law, God's law. The penalty is death. But through my son, Jesus, I'm going to give you life. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He became cursed for us. Guys, that's the most amazing thing. And when people get it in their head that you're going to save yourself, what does that look like? I was witnessing to a young man the other day, and I'm looking. I don't know if I don't see him anywhere, but I'll keep praying he comes through the door. But I was witnessing to him the other day, and I said, he started talking about good and evil. And I said, man, do you believe in heaven and hell? And he's like, oh, I'm not too sure about that. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, if there is a heaven, a good place, would you go there? And he goes, yeah. And I go, why? And he goes, because I'm a good person. And I was like, really? How good are you? And he goes, I said, do you know what the Bible says? He goes, listen, I don't care what the Bible says. I have my own belief. And I said, check this out, man. You know, there's 4,500 different religions in the world. 4,500. Let me help you. Somebody's lying. Somebody's wrong. And I said, the reason there's 4,500 different religions is because Christianity, the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross for you and I, that if we believe in him, we would have everlasting life. And then the 4,499 said, I got my own belief. I go, dude, now it's 4,501 because you just told me a new belief I didn't know. Right? I go, dude, you can't make up what you think works. We got to have the mind of Christ. So then he goes on here and he says in let me find my verse that I started with, right? I didn't put it in here, but I got it. It just take me a second. Here we go. All right. So in 4:1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And he who has suffered in the flesh means that you are controlling your body. You are put up 4:1 for me, please, if you would. 4:1. In 4:1, when he says, arm yourselves also the same mind, for he, if you notice, he's not capitalized. So he is referencing man. For he, the person who has suffered in the flesh, that means you've denied yourself. All right, how many here have a problem with some sort of something that you need? Maybe coffee? Maybe sugar? Snacks? Late night eating? If you're, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, don't talk to me, right? And so if you have an issue, like you got to have your coffee, try to go a couple days without coffee. You are now in prison for murdering somebody that just came next to you, right? Or go without sugar. Or don't have that snack at night, right? You're used to sitting down, munching and everything. And then try to go from 5 o'clock and at night until the next day and not eat anything. Just drink water. That's a new thought. For some of you, right? How many of you think you could actually make it? Okay, I got a few hands. How many would struggle to make that? Right? How many don't even want to talk about it? Right? So what he's talking about here is, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. It doesn't mean that, okay, I got beat up for Jesus, so I'm not sinning anymore. No, what it means is that you have denied the body that which isn't good. You suffered. You struggled, right? Because listen, I know some of you, if you don't have your coffee, you are not likable, right? That's that suffering in the flesh. And he's talking about sin. When we control that, then we cease from sin. Well, how do we do that? Well, we got to have the mind of Christ. We got to understand that which is of God. And if you look in 1 Peter 4:2, it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And all he's saying here is that when we control ourselves and we're not living to satisfy or to please people. If you're going to be honest, how many in here have done something you didn't want to do, but you did it to please someone else, knowing that you shouldn't have done it? Right? And the rest of you are liars. And so what he's taught, listen, because he's saying, now listen, if you get the mind of Christ and you get the things of Jesus and you settle that in your bones, then when someone comes along and they want you to do something that you shouldn't be doing, you're going to cease from sin because you're going to suffer the flesh. You're going to draw it back and you go, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not partaking in this. This isn't good. This isn't healthy for me or someone else or whatever it is. You're going to deny yourself so that we glorify God. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You're going to sit down and you're going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to satisfy and please my Savior. And you know, today that doesn't hardly happen anymore. People are so caught up in their own desires and that entitlement mentality that God is not in the equation. Why should I please God? Look, I deserve this. I want this. I worked hard for this. Why are they getting it? I should be getting it. Don't go on Facebook. It just makes you lust and go crazy. Get rid of it. And most of the people putting things on Facebook have distorted the truth so much so to make them look really good that you're sitting back lusting after something they never did anyway. They put this perfect life up, and yet when they pillow their head, they're ready to go crazy. We got to live our life, and we got to focus on us to do the will of God. To do that which is right that God calls us to. And I'm going to tell you, that means that we got to take up our cross. When we take up our cross, there's going to be some suffering on that. There's going to be some self-denial. And guys, I know I'm jumping some verses, Charlene. Just ride this one with me. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Because if I don't do this, we're never going to get out of here. My first time visitors are never going to be second time visitors. So we got to make sure this happens right. I'm really glad my visitors are here. I'm just saying. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what he's saying is, man, I tell everyone about you guys. You are my children in the spirit. You, listen, I am so proud of you and what you are doing. I'm boasting about you in Christ Jesus. Very specific, right? It was because of their Christian walk. It was because they've dedicated themselves to Jesus. And Paul says, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm boasting about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says this, I affirm to you that I die daily. And what he's talking about is he surrenders his will for the will of God. He surrenders that which he knows he shouldn't do to do that which he knows he should do. I die daily. Every day I have got to put this flesh to bed because, man, if I don't, I will do the unthinkable. And I don't know about you, but if I'm not holding on to Jesus, I could train wreck my life pretty quick. Anybody else? Amen. I'm just telling you, man, I know who I am. I know me. I know me better than anyone knows me. And when people are like, I would never do that. How could they do that? I would never do that. Oh, you let the circumstances be just right and you'll be right in there with it too. The heart is deceitfully wicked. So wicked, who could know it? How many of you already have, don't raise your hand. Just let me... This is rhetorical, just something for you to think about. But how many of you have already done things that you said you would never do? And you've turned around and you've done them. And not just once or twice, but some of you made a habit out of it. I'm just telling you that Paul says, if I don't die daily, I'm not going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to satisfy what I want. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. To have the mind of Christ, to live like Christ, guys, to be spiritual, this isn't mystical. It's hard work. It's commitment. It's dedication to God to do that which God has called us. People say Christianity, oh, you're using Jesus as a crutch. No, I'm using him as a wheelchair. Oh, you're weak. Yeah. It is so hard to live the Christian life. Anybody else with me on this? I'm telling you, it's hard. It is hard to deny yourself. It is hard to make yourself a drink offering. It is hard. And then if you mess up, oh, Lord forbid you mess up, because somebody's there with a ball bat ready to beat you up with it. And Satan is your biggest one holding the bat, because what's he want to do? He wants to make us feel guilty and make us feel bad, like we're not good enough. Well, guess what? We're not good enough. That's why Jesus died for us. But that's why we got to die daily. That's why we have to make those adjustments. We have to have the mind of Christ that 1 Peter talks about in 4:1. And if we're going to stop walking in the lust of men to satisfy people or to satisfy our own selfish, sinful desires, if we're going to do that, we got to grow ourselves up in Jesus. We got to surrender to Christ. We got to die daily. We got to be a drink offering. It is so easy to do the wrong thing. Why is it so hard to do the right thing? I'm glad you asked. Because we have a sin nature. We have a sin nature. And guys, I hate to say this, but if it is you or your dad that gave, listen, the sin nature is passed through the man. Don't get excited, ladies. You're the cause of the fall. Anyway, so I'm kidding. It's like, oh yeah, they're like, oh, pastor, I liked you till now. You're done. Get out of here. Listen, right? We have this sin nature. That sin nature just simply means we have this natural tendency to do that which is wrong. That's all it means. And boy, don't we do that well. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. He's not talking that. He says to be like Christ. Amen. We need to have our purpose right, our mind right, or the attitude right. And it's simply a willingness to die, because we as Christians, we know that death produces victory. And you're like, what? Go back up now, if you would, Charlene, to the ones you just passed. 1 Corinthians 15:26 says this. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. I'm telling you, Jesus is going to destroy death. He's conquered it, but the last enemy he's going to destroy is death, where no one will die anymore, and we have victory in Christ. And then if you look in 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, Jesus, and this mortal has put on immortality, I'm going to die and you're going to die. We are the mortals. We put on immortality. That is that which is God, Jesus Christ specifically. Then we don't die anymore. We have immortality through Jesus and only through Jesus. And it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, you can get rid of this old body. It's okay. I feel like a yo-yo lately, up and down on my weight. And if I eat too much sugar, my brain flakes out. So I got to eat more vegetables. Then it comes back and I come to my senses and I don't like that. So I go back to the sugar. I know nobody else does this, right? But what's going to happen is, man, I'm telling you, the death is swallowed up in victory, and anything in Jesus lives forever in glory. Verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? Anyone that has passed before us, if you know Jesus as your Savior and they knew Jesus as their Savior, we'll see Him again. It's a promise. It's a guarantee from a God who cannot lie. Look in 2 Timothy 1:10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. Do you know why I get up here and preach like I preach and teach the scriptures? Because the power is in the word of God, not me. Listen, I've got nothing. I got nothing. As a matter of fact, I get my men together and I'm like, listen, you got to pray for me. I get Buck, hey, Buck, today, man, pray for me this morning. And so Buck and I, we went off to the room and he prayed for me. And then I come up here and I pray like the whole time. Lord, if I get up here by myself, this is going to be a train wreck. I already know it. Lord, if you don't do something great, it's going to be bad. I already know it. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. And the reason that I teach and I preach this gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else, there's nothing else. And I don't take it out of context and I don't add anything to it. And I don't tell you something that's pleasing to you or pleasing to me because it's pleasing, because I don't care. I care if you like me, but not at the sacrifice of the gospel and the truth. I want you to like me, but I want God to be pleased. And I want you to know the things of God so you can go to heaven. We can't save ourselves. I've said it 1,000 times. We can't even cure the common cold, let alone COVID. You honestly think you got the answer? Well, then why haven't you shared it with someone? Shame on you. I preach the gospel because it's only through this, and has history proven over and over and over again, this is the only way. Jesus Christ is it. And people walk out and they're like, oh, I don't believe in that. I'm not going to give my life to Jesus, man. That's all. They're all brainwashed or whatever people come up with. But yet nothing's been proven wrong in the scriptures. And we're going to find, if I ever get to it, passages that confirm truths that we know. If you believe unto Jesus Christ, people are going to hate you and they're going to condemn you and they're going to ridicule you. That was written 2,000 years ago and daggum, that's Southern term, if we don't experience it today. I mean, if you're not experiencing that, then you got to ask yourself if you're saved. If you haven't upset somebody in the world because you love Jesus, you better ask if that relationship's real or if it's fake and made up. It's through the light of the gospel that changes everything. Revelation 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Amen, amen. And how many are looking forward to that day? Man, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day. There shall be no more whining. I'm looking forward to that day too. Amen. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Everything's going to become new, man. God promises us that. We just got to get through this time period. But the day is coming and it's closer than it's ever been, I can assure you. Especially when you read scriptures about prophecy of what the end times are going to look like, not the end of the world, because even if Jesus came back today, right now, before I finish, some of you would be rejoicing here by yourself and the others would be rejoicing in heaven. I'm just saying. But even if it happened today, the rapture happened today, you still got 1,007 years minimum. Because you have the 7-year tribulation period, you got a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and then you have a short time, which is just a small window for those that were born in 1,000 years, for Satan to be loosed and to expose himself, for them to choose whether they're going to follow Satan or they're going to follow Jesus. And I don't know how long that time is. It's just a short window, but don't worry, all of you be dead by then. And so, right, it's 1,000 years. That's why. Come on, do the math. And so, at any rate, what? You understand what I'm saying? So even if it happens today, the rapture, you still got 1,007+ years. So when I say the end, I'm not talking the end of the world. I'm talking the end as we know it. The end as we know it. Anyway, let me move on. I don't want to digress because this is going to be a 3-week sermon if I keep going at the rate I'm going, right? Listen, we also see through history that thousands of martyrs throughout the church history have been willing to die. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith. They all died in faith. Hebrews 11, 35 through 38. If you go there, I'm jumping. I know. It'd be all right. When women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were tortured, and they did not accept deliverance. What's the deliverance? It's not the deliverance of God that he's talking about here. He's talking about men going, if you do what I asked you to do, you'll live. If you don't, you're going to die right here. They wouldn't accept it. They're like, kill me. What are you going to do? Send me to heaven? Where's my loss? There is none. I'm reminded of a story of two young ladies in Korea, North Korea, and a pastor had went there and was preaching the gospel, and this was back in the, I think it was in the 50s, and was preaching the gospel. And these two young women get saved, and they're in his church. And then the soldiers come, and they take these Christians, and they line them up. They line them up all the way across. The only reason they're lining them up is because they're Christians. There is no other reason. And they took the handgun and handed it to the pastor and told him, if you shoot the two girls, we'll let you live. And he took the handgun and he walked up to the two girls. And as he's looking at them, they're looking at him in the eye. And they said this, Pastor, we love you and we forgive you. And he took them both out. As he turned around to hand the weapon back to the soldiers, they said, we hate traitors, and took his life. See, that's the world. That's the world that we live in, right? And so when he says here, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't accept deliverance. We'll throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't surrender to me. And they said, listen, whether God saves us or he allows us to burn, we are not stepping back from Jesus. You do what you will. They threw him in the furnace and they lived. Daniel, bow down to me. Daniel's like, I can't do that. I will not violate my relationship with my God. Then we'll throw you into the lion's den. So be it. They throw him into the lion's den. The Bible says that God closed their mouths. And it doesn't say this, but I believe it, that Daniel used those lions as pillows. The next morning, gets up, the king runs in, because the king loved him. It was all a setup. You'd have to go back and read it. And he's like, Daniel, did your God save you? And then the king hears this voice. Yes, my Lord. My God is faithful. He saved me. All I'm going to tell you is, when we get the mind of Christ, and we live for Christ, whether the torture comes or it doesn't, we're going to have victory. Whether we have to suffer a little bit in this flesh to die daily, we'll have victory. But if you don't control this, I have a huge question. Are you even saved? If you can't control this, and you can't control your mouth, and you can't control your body, are you even saved? To say you're a Christian and constantly live that life, and I mean, there's one thing to mess up, but it's another to constantly make these poor decisions over and over and over again that constantly cause you to look over your shoulder, to hide your phone like we talked about last week, to not have a clear conscience with God because you know what you're doing is wrong. Are you even saved? Born again, and I know, boy, that's like a cuss word today, but Jesus used it, so I feel like it's safe. Are you born again? If you don't live for Him, I don't know. And if you, like they're saying here, they didn't accept deliverance. Man, do what you're going to do, but I am not surrendering my God to your momentary pleasure or to your momentary command for me to deny my God. I'm not going to do it. And so many today are willing to sacrifice the eternal for the temporary. So many are willing to sacrifice the blessing for the curse that looks like a blessing. So many are willing. We have to be faithful to the Father no matter what. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's a promise. That is a promise. You know, when my girls were small, we were living in Missouri at the time, and somebody was talking about this thing on how to drive your children crazy, and I thought, hey, let me try it. Right? We'll use them for experiments, but don't tell nobody. And so I sat my girls down, and I said, hey. And I gave them each a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I said, you guys sit at the table here. And I set it down in front of them. And I took a whole pack, one for each of them. And I said, if you guys can hold out 20 minutes and not eat that one, when I come back, you can have all of it. There were what, 4 or 5, something like that. And so I walked out of the room. And then Tori looks at Taylor. And Taylor looks at Tori. And then Taylor said, don't touch it. Because Tori sees it. Tori's like, party! Candy! And Taylor's like, listen. We just wait. We get all of this. I come back in 20 minutes later. They got so involved in each other's conversation, talking to one another, they forgot that candy was even there. And I'm like, it's all yours. That's what we need to be with Jesus. That's how we need to be. Listen, don't take that little when God's offering you everything. Don't take that moment when you get eternity. Because we got a house not made with hands. This is made with hands. We get eternity in heaven, a promise from God. Look here in Revelation 21:4. And this is only halfway through my sermon. Guys, this is a 2-week deal, but I can live with it. That means the rest of you have to come back so you can hear the rest of it. Amen. Revelation 21:4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. It is a promise that we get joy, peace, everything. That's everything that you want today. If you can withhold, we get this. It's just an amazing promise. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are those who do His, that's Jesus. Because remember, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Blessed are those, and literally that word blessed means happy, happy. Happy, happy. Like happy, who? Everybody wants to be happy, happy. Amen. Well, I don't want happy. I want happy, happy. Give me the double portion. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And then verse 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. The Bible in the book of John says that Satan is a lie and a murderer and the father of it. He's the inventor. He's the creator. Whoever loves and practices the things of the world, you're practicing a lie. And it's not going to go well. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers. I want to tell you something. Hebrews 12:2. Pull that up for me, please. Jesus says, I don't want you to be a part of the dogs or the sorcerers or the lie. So much so that I don't want you to be a part of it, that I am going to take joy in paying the price so that you don't have to. Because I know that if I don't do this, you can't do it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Everything is for Him and by Him. Faith is either in Him. And because you believe in Him, He is the author and the finisher. That means we have life in Him and we don't have death in Him. We have life in Him. And when this body dies, this old tent gives out, which I don't know about you, but listen, 20 years ago, this was black. 25 years ago, this was full. Okay, 90%, 80%, 75%, well, somewhere around there. You know what I know? This old body's just getting tired and wants to quit sometimes. Like when I was 20, I could go on forever. Now I need a nap. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, that's you and I, and the possibility that you and I can go to heaven and be with Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God, there's so much more in here, and I just don't have time to preach it, but next week I'll finish it. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus willingly died for you and me, that we, you and I, could have eternal life. And the Bible says, for whosoever, that means anyone and everyone, without exception, for whosoever will believe. Please pull up John 3:16 for me, because I want everyone to read the Word of God. For whosoever, any one of us, every one of us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever, you and I, should believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He's the answer. There's nothing else. Listen, of all the 4,501 religions, and then if you have your own other than that, it's 4,502, and just keep counting because somebody's every, it's wrong. We have two religions in the world. Christianity, and I say religions because by definition, Christianity, which is a relationship with God, or humanism, what man chooses to believe over God. You hang on to your own, you have no hope. You hold on to Jesus, and you believe in Jesus Christ, you have salvation. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death. We can't do it our way. Truth is not dependent upon us. We are dependent upon truth. And it doesn't matter what you and I believe. If it's contrary to truth, truth is still truth. What is it that has sustained since time? God. What is it that humanity has tried to get rid of for the last 6,000 years, well, 4,000 years, or since the writing, the Word of God? And yet God said, I will preserve it forever. Why? This is truth. And you and I, we have the right and the freedom to accept or deny it. But we do not have the right and the freedom void of its consequences. We either believe in the only begotten Son and have life, or we deny Him and we perish. And the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And I pray that for you and I, or for you, I've already done it. I gave my life to Christ 30 years ago, almost. But I pray today you do. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, and you do not, or have never, you do not believe in Jesus, or you've never given your life to Christ, but today you want to change that, I just want to give you an opportunity. You either believe or you don't. And the difference between a mind belief and a heart belief, I tell people it's like if you have a puppy. If you see someone else's puppy, you're like, that's a nice puppy. But if it's yours, you have that relationship, that connection. It's personal because it belongs to you. And that's what it is with Jesus. And to have this relationship with Jesus, listen, Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is the Son of God that willingly died for you and me, that we could be a part of the Father's family in heaven. It's the most amazing thing. He doesn't ask for anything from us but us. Every other false god in the world says that we have to give. And that false god just takes and takes and takes and takes from us. And God, the Father in heaven, says, I give. I give my Son that if you choose to believe in Him, you'll have everlasting life. If it's your desire to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer. The words aren't magical. The words are not going to save you. It is the fact that just like your puppy, you own those words. They're real to you. They come from your heart, not your mind. So if it's your desire to receive Christ as your Savior, to believe unto Him as your Lord and Savior, the prayer just gives you a time stamp so that when Satan is beating you up, you can say, no, this day I made a conscious decision with all of my heart to give my life to Jesus Christ. That's all the prayer is. It gives you a roadmap to walk you through it and to give you a time stamp. So if you don't mean it with your heart, please don't deceive yourself. But if you do, please don't walk away from it. If it's your desire, you pray this prayer quietly and to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I surrender this flesh. I surrender this mind. I surrender my heart all to you. I realize that you are the only way to heaven. I realize that without you, I have no hope. I understand I cannot even cure myself of the common cold, let alone get into your heaven on my terms. So today, I surrender to your terms. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he conquered death and hell. I believe that he is now at the right hand of you, Father in heaven. Today, I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. I surrender to you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior.